Hey mama, you're listening to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place where we want to encourage you, edify you by bringing together moms who have experienced a supernatural childbirth. All of us got our journey on this started by reading a book called Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. It was a book written in the 1980s, but it is still impacting moms today. The fact that we are no longer under the curse of the law because of Jesus Christ, we're under the blessings of the law. So one of those curses was pain in childbirth, and we can be free from that. So us moms have come together. We've believed for that in our own births. We're bringing other moms in so you can hear those stories and hear those testimonies and be encouraged. That's why we're here. If you have a similar story, reach out to us. We would love to have you on the podcast. We also have a Facebook group. Be sure to search in groups for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We're there. It's a community of hundreds of women who are there to encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. It's been amazing getting to know all of you. In the future, we're hoping to have more small group settings of either trainings in faith and trainings as for being a mom, or just group settings where we pray together. We're working towards that, and we're looking for leaders. If you have it in your heart to lead other women in this way, let us know. Reach out to us. If you search in the Facebook group, there's actually a form to fill out. So can't wait to dive into today's podcast.
Hello, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. I'm so excited you are here today. And I'm so excited for who we have joining us today. Martina from Norway is joining us, and her birth story is sure to encourage you. Martina, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Katie.
Hello. We're so excited to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing good. So, Martina, for our listeners, can you please share, before we jump in on your story today, can you share a little bit about you and your family with us listeners?
Sure. So, yeah. So, as you said, my name is Martina, and I'm from Norway. And I'm married, and we have one miracle son that I'm going to share the testimony about today. And he turns actually 1 year next week. So, that's time's gone fast. And, yeah, my husband and I, we both work in a mission organization called Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. So we're working with aid and development projects at this moment, but the organization trains and equips young people of all ages, really, to do missions. So that's kind of what we're doing. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're all doing it while having a one-year-old.
Yeah.
Spreading.
Well, I'm mostly home with him now, for sure. Yeah. But yeah.
That's awesome. So before we jump in on your birth story and get to the details, I'm going to pray over you in this podcast and our listeners.
Yes.
Father God, we come before you today, and I just thank you, Father, for your glory, Lord, that you want to be a part of our lives and in our story. You did not leave us as orphans, Lord. You sent us the Holy Spirit, and you are so much a part of our lives, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for Martina's story, Father, and how it's going to be equipping and encouraging the body and the listeners here today. And I just bless Martina, and I bless her lips. Lord, bring back to everything that you want to share, every detail, every memory. Lord, everything that she needs to speak, I ask that she will say it and speak it and declare it. And I pray over our listeners today, wherever they're at, whether they're at work or in the car, Lord, whatever the situation they're going through, Lord, I just ask me to send forth your Holy Spirit to them, and may they be so encouraged by this, and may the story plant seeds and just build up excitement, build up joy in their hearts. And I just bless this podcast, Lord, today, and I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're so excited to hear your story, and
yeah.
So to begin, could you tell us about a little bit of backstory about, like, how you heard about supernatural childbirth?
Sure, yeah. So when I had a month left of my pregnancy, a friend of mine, she actually gave me the book Supernatural Childbirth. So that's like my first time hearing about it, actually. And then from then on, I me and my husband, we read the book the same night we got it. And it was kind of, for me, it was kind of like an offending idea that it would be possible even to believe for, you know, a pain-free childbirth. Because I, you know, I grew up thinking it's supposed to be painful, and I was thinking it's supposed to die from yourself. And yeah, so it was a total new thought for me. We read a book really fast, and we read all the testimonies and the faith. I started to, like, you know, build faith. And I also came across then your podcast. So I started to listen to women from more recent times that has experienced this as well. So that's kind of how I came across it.
And that's amazing how you did it with your husband. You know, I haven't really heard of a husband like jumping on the bandwagon that fast. I guess like the Lord just knew the timing of it, you know?
I guess, yeah. And actually, while I was pregnant, he would, in the evening, we would bless the child in my womb. And he would often pray that it's supposed to, like, he prayed that it will be an easy birth. And I remember I didn't even say amen when he prayed that, because I felt like, can I pray for that? It was just so new for me to think that way. So he was kind of like, I think, earlier than me, expecting that it would be like an easy birth.
Yeah, the Lord was working on his heart, you know,
yeah.
The priest of the family.
Yeah. So
I know your story includes promises. So do you want to get to that at the just the beginning of your story of how that came to be?
Yeah, so I can start from like from the beginning. So since I was in my early youth, I've had hormonal imbalance. So the doctor told me even as a 16-year-old that I had irregular ovulations. And I remember at that point that I was really worried that I would not be able to become a mom, you know, because that was something that's been on my heart for a long time. But at the same time, I was 16 years old, and I was actually quite content that I didn't have my periods. So I didn't realize the health implications of that. So it wasn't actually until I was around 27 that I had a health control offered through my job. And the doctor, she was quite worried that I didn't have regular periods. So she started to put me on some medications to trigger ovulation. And then the year after, in 2018, I got married. And we went straight to do a Bible school with Youth with a Mission in Hawaii, so the organization that we work with today. And one day at the prayer room there, I suddenly heard, "Go home and bear forth a child." And I was sure it was the Lord, because it was totally out of the blue to me. And on a side note to this, at this time, I was actually very homesick. And we thought that we were called to live in the other side of the world than Norway. And I was having this wrestle with the Lord, because I really wanted to go back to Norway. So when I got this word, I was actually probably the first 6 months, I was like really holding on to the first part of the word, which said go home. But then it was actually later when we got back home to Norway and we struggled to conceive that I started to really hold on to the last part of the world, to bear forth a child. So this has been like a long journey of trying to conceive, and it's really, this word has really been, you know, what I hold on to the whole time, because I knew it was from the Lord. So it's like he said it, so he will do it, you know. But so when I got this word, I was convinced that we would get pregnant fast and easy, like he told me before the child. But we didn't, actually. So when we didn't, I contacted my doctor again, and she first told me to try to gain weight because I was on the lower end. And then next time I contacted her, she sent me straight to a fertility clinic, which they would just start me immediately with hormone injections right away. And at this time I was, you know, I really wanted to become pregnant fast. So I was thinking, okay, let's do it. And I did one round and it was unsuccessful. And although I did not have peace doing a second round, I ended up doing it. So I don't think it's anything wrong with doing it, but I really felt like the Lord was challenging me not to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have peace doing it, but I did it still, because I really wanted to control the control it, and I wanted to become pregnant immediately. And yeah, so I kind of took it in my own hands, and I wrestled a lot with the Lord, but eventually I gave up control and I decided to be obedient to what I felt that he was leading me to. So I felt that this time that he told me, I will do it. And again, I thought it would happen fast, but my period was still missing. So I want to share a little bit about like how he led me then through the next few years.
Yeah.
So so this was in the start of 2019. And the first thing he actually told me and my husband as we were praying one day, we just both heard eat. Just one word, eat. And we both got it. So when I shared and I thought it was just me, you know, and he said, I got the exact same word. So we were like, okay, I should eat more. And then I had tried to gain weight earlier. So this time we really went all in. So we he would cook all my meals and just load it with fats. And 1 month later, I got my period. So it was like, I was so excited. I was like, wow, the Lord is so faithful. You know, it worked immediately. But then the months passed and I still hadn't, like, I just got it that one time and then it went missing again. So it was kind of like, yeah, you know, back and forth and really confused. And, but then I remember, right before, Christmas, we were driving home to my parents and we stopped at this gas station. And before I went out of the door, I was just suddenly, I got this faith in my heart. I was just filled with faith that the Lord is seeing me and he's seeing my situation. And he knows, he created my body. He knows that it's important for me to have periods, you know. So I just had so full faith that he would take care of it. And then I went straight after, like having this, thinking these thoughts in my heart, I went straight to the restroom and I had my period. And I was like, what? So I was so stoked again, like how fast the Lord, you know, answered my prayer. And then after this, it started to come more regularly, but we still didn't conceive. So then in 2020, I was one day, I was really frustrated one morning and I was out on a walk and I was frustrated to why I had, yeah, all these issues with my health and I had different pain and inflammation in my body. And I tried, you know, to do what I believe was healthy, like working out and eating healthy, but it didn't seem to help. And I was actually quite mad at the Lord. And I remember that I was screaming like, Lord, what is good health? Mm-hmm. And then I got back from that walk and then someone shared with me Proverbs 17:22, like right when I got back from that walk. And if you directly translate that Bible verse from the Norwegian Bible version that I got, it actually says, a joyful heart gives good health. And I was like, because I remember I specifically asked him, I first asked him, what is health? And then I said, no, what is good health? And in this Bible verse, it actually says, a joyful heart gives good health. So I was okay. So that was like another part of the piece. And then some months later, we're in 2021. And then I have this quiet time with the Lord in the morning. And I asked, some mornings I ask, like, do you have something you want to share with me today? And usually, you know, it would be, I love you, or, you know, something encouraging. And then this morning, I was very surprised because I heard, Martine, you are sick. And then I was like hesitating for a moment if it actually is from the Lord, you know, or from the enemy, because, yeah, it was so, yeah, I didn't expect that, you know. But it was said with such a kind and loving voice, and I felt cared for. So I thought it had to be from the Lord. So I actually ended up doing some blood work just to check my health again. And the test revealed that I lacked certain micronutrients. So even though I was eating healthy, I had a lot of inflammation in my body. And my body wasn't able to absorb the nutrients that I was eating. So I'm not sure if you heard about it, but I probably had something called leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually became like a longer journey of learning more about my body and nutrition. And earlier I would care more about how I looked, but now the Lord really took me through a process of healing my disordered mindset and showing me what true health is. And I believe and I know that he could have made me pregnant, you know, right away whenever he wants to. But I really feel like he's taking me on this journey because he cares about the whole of me, like my mind and my body and my spirit.
Yes.
And like to go to the root causes of things. And Yeah, so after this blood work, I was recommended to change my diet to try to reduce the inflammation that I had in my body. And so I started that, and then time went by and still no pregnancy. And so many times I really had to decide to proclaim and believe the word that he had given me back in 2018, which was go home and bear forth a child. And so it was like a longer journey. And then the next thing I felt that the Lord was leading me to might sound a bit strange, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it, so I'm just going to do it. But for a long time, I had an unhealthy relationship with my engagement ring. So I started early in my marriage to compare it with others, and I became jealous of others. So it became, the Lord showed me that it had actually became an idol to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt for a long time that he challenged me to throw it away. But I would always reason why I shouldn't, you know, it's expensive and la la la. And it's like a proof of our marriage. And yeah, it was just like I had a long list of why I shouldn't do it, but I didn't have peace. And it took quite some time. But then in the end, I decided that I had to be obedient. And I felt that he was actually asking me to throw it in the water. So me and my husband, we went the end of the year 2021 and we threw it away. And a few days later, on the 1st of January, I got my period. And then for the first time in many years, I got a new period exactly 1 month later, on the 1st of February. So I'm not sure, but I think there was like something here.
Yeah.
And then parallel to believing for, so now we're in the beginning of 2022. And then parallel to believing for a child on our own, my husband and I, we were joining many prayer meetings, believing for a revival in Norway. And many different people from around the world, they've gotten a word that there is a pregnancy in Norway and that it's overdue. And that is a picture of the revival that is coming. And it has been very interesting for us to stand in faith, you know, for this pregnancy, both in the spiritual, but also in the physical. And then during a prayer conference in February last year, we were contending for revival in Norway. And then I remember that I was feeling so guilty for contending more for my own child than for revival in our country. So I repented to the Lord, but I actually felt that he said to me that it's okay and that this is my way of interceding for the nation. Mm. And then I believe that I heard him say, I have done it, as of like me being pregnant. And in the previous years, I'd heard many times when I was praying, I'd heard, I will do it. But now I heard, I have done it. Mm. And then I was really scared of believing this because I don't want to be disappointed or, you know. But then I felt that he was challenging me to turn around and to declare in faith to my husband that I was pregnant, although I knew that I wasn't. And I told the Lord that if it's really him speaking to me, then he needs to confirm this. Like, I'm not going to do this, you know. And then within a few minutes, two women would come to me and confirm, not like specifically say that the Lord said this and this, but they would confirm, like one of them would just come to me and pray for me. And she would say, you are a mom. And then, so I had two kind of confirmations quite soon after that. So then I, in obedience, I turned around. And I told my husband that I'm pregnant. And surprisingly, he did not think I was crazy. And then when we got home that night, I shared with him, you know, what the Lord had been speaking to me. And then I felt that he challenged me to daily proclaim in faith that I was pregnant. So I did that for a month or so. But then in the beginning of the March, I got my period again. So I was really disappointed. And then the following months, I lost hope. You know, I actually in April, I read a book and I read, it said something like, you know that you lost hope in something if you stopped praying for it. Mm. And that really hit me because I had stopped for the last month. I didn't actually pray about it anymore. I didn't believe it anymore. I just kind of put it aside. So that was, it's been a journey of ups and downs. But then during these years, longing to get pregnant, I had three times when I was praying alone, I've seen this picture of Jesus extending his hands with the baby in his arms and like extending it to me. And I wasn't fully convinced that it was him because, you know, something you really long for and dream for, it's easy to think that it's just my wishful thinking, you know. So I didn't share this with anyone. I didn't share it with my husband. I just kept it in my heart. And then one day in the beginning of May, I was out on a walk. And when I got home that evening, my husband, he was out. But then a big painting in bright colors was standing in our living room. And the picture was God's hands holding a baby. And I immediately started to sob because it was such a confirmation to me that the picture I had seen in prayer was actually from him. Mm. And I had no idea where this picture came from, but it didn't really matter to me in that moment. You know, it just was like, yeah, it was really special. And then my husband came home later and I asked him where it came from. And he shared that a colleague and a good friend of ours, she had delivered it that evening. And I called her so stoked and I shared with her, like, I've seen this in my prayers. And she shared that this picture had actually been painted during a women's conference that she attended 5 years earlier. And she wanted to buy it when she saw it, but she felt like she shouldn't spend the money. But then she felt that the Lord told her that she would receive it. And she's like, okay. And then after the conference, the woman who painted it, she contacted her and she asked her if she could bring some of her paintings to her job. And then she said, and I want to give you this one. And that was that picture. Wow. And she was so happy, you know. She's like, wow, thank you. And then quite soon after, she heard the Lord tell her that it's not for you. And then she was quite disappointed. She's like, ha, I got the picture I wanted and it's not for me, you know. But she didn't know who it was for, so she hung it up home and it's been hanging there for 5 years. And then this evening she was in the room where the picture was, and she, when she saw it, she just suddenly knew it was for me. And she felt like the Lord said, it's urgent, you have to deliver it tonight. So she came quite late that evening with this picture. And this was really confirmation to me and my husband. It was, really special. And then 2.5 weeks later, we find out that I was pregnant.
It's so good.
Yeah. So it has been, I mean, it hasn't been that long journey. It's 2-3 years. You know, it's like when I look back now, it doesn't feel long. But in the moment, it feels like forever. And it felt like it was so many, you know, different ways to it. So yeah, so that's the miraculous pregnancy.
And to think that, like, it was 5 years, so it was like a year before, right? Like 2017 most likely.
Yeah,
the painting before you got the word,
right? I haven't thought about that. Yeah,
wow, that's just amazing. It's so, yeah, cool.
It's amazing. He knows, you know, he written the story from beginning to end.
Yeah. And that just seeing his hand and like how you didn't ever let go, you know, of his hand, and you're just giving like you confirmation after each step you took. It's just inspiring, I know, for me, and I'm sure all of us listening.
Yeah, he's been really faithful. He really has. Like, I think it's so much easier when you have a word, you know, then it's like something you can hold on to, because otherwise it's, yeah.
So did you have any naysayers? Were you really did you just ponder in your heart with that word of go home and bear forth a child? Or did you share it with some close loved ones, or just didn't know, like, how did you guard that word?
Yeah. So obviously, me and my husband, we would talk about it and pray about it. And actually, I don't fully remember if we did share it with other people. I think I held it quite personal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be wrong. Right now, I actually don't remember.
Yeah.
But I did think that I shared with people, like, I have a word, I will get pregnant, you know? But I'm not sure if I actually share the full, like, sentence. I might have, yeah. But I think, it was mostly, like, ponder on it and just I just had faith that it was the Lord speaking. But then I did have like this small fear coming in, telling me it's in the spiritual, you know, or and sometimes I would think maybe I'm not gonna like have my own child. Maybe we'll be foster parents, because that's something also we tried to go through that process as well. But then since he said bear forth a child, I kind of was convinced, no, I will actually get pregnant, you know, because it's not have a child, it was bear forth a child. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So you get pregnant, and can you tell us about your pregnancy?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was very blessed in my pregnancy, and I think you know the word I got, good health. No, I mean joyful heart gives good health. I was really joyful when I was pregnant, because it would be, you know, something I longed for for such a long time, and it was like suddenly I was pregnant, and I knew it was a miracle of God, and it just, you know, I was it really created so much joy in me, and I was really so thankful. And I remember people would ask me quite early, like, what do you think about this and this? And I remember I just like, I haven't thought about it, because I spent most of my pregnancy actually just being thankful and just praying over the child, blessing the child. And I didn't really think much about birth. I didn't think much about getting the right equipment or things like that. I was actually just like really enjoying being pregnant. And before I got pregnant, I kind of expected various discomforts. You know, that's what I've heard, and I know it's very common. And my mom, for example, she was very nauseous when she was pregnant with me and all of my siblings. So I took for granted that I would be too. And then I've heard about people talking about, you know, you will have cravings, you will gain weight, you will sleep bad. It's so many negative reports about being pregnant. And I didn't like worry too much about it, but I kind of expected it to be like that I would have some of these things. And I didn't read the Supernatural Childbirth book until the last month of my pregnancy. So I didn't really pray or believe up front that I would be like that I could avoid all these things. But the Lord was so kind to me, because I was in really good health during my pregnancy. For a short time, I could feel a little nauseous, but that would typically be right before lunchtime if I was really hungry, and then I would eat and it would disappear. And it was only for some weeks. Like it wasn't a problem at all. And then I didn't have any cravings other than chocolate, but that's kind of normal anyways. Like that's normal for me. And I would sleep well. I did actually not gain excessive weight. And so the Lord was really good with me. And I feel so thankful, because I know this is not the case for so many women. And I'm like super women who go through being nauseous for a long time. I have friends who's been so nauseous through their whole pregnancy, and I'm like, wow, I think it's so amazing how you still do it, you know. But I can't say anything then. The Lord was gracious to me. But one thing that I struggled with was actually my pelvis. I had a lot of pain, or in the beginning I got a lot of pain in my pelvis and in my lower back. And soon after I found out that I was pregnant, I started to plan, like, I should work out, I should, you know, keep fit and strong for this pregnancy. But then after a few workouts, my back and pelvis, they got in a lot of pain. And even though I only have like a 7-minute walk to work, I actually had to bike to work, because it was, I would have this like pain that would just shoot down kind of from my back and down. But I was very stubborn, and I kept doing, you know, exercises, although it would lead to more pain. But then when I was around halfway in my pregnancy, I strongly felt the Lord was challenging me to stop it, you know, to lay it down. And it was a huge wrestle to me. And I thought, because I thought in my mind, I thought working out is important and I should do it. And but then I didn't have any peace about it. And then one day he actually very clearly spoke to me through his word. It was actually from 1 Timothy 4, where it says, for physical training is of some, but of this version that I was reading, it actually says of little value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And and again, I don't think it's anything wrong with working out, and I would work out now, but I really felt at this time he was strongly asking me to lay down. And I did, and then we have a 5K circuit around where I live, and I hadn't been able to walk that round for several months. And the day after I decided to give up exercising and being obedient, I sensed that the Lord told me that I would be able to do the full round again before giving birth.
Wow.
And in my, yeah. And then in my mind, I thought, like, this will be later, you know, in the pregnancy, because it didn't make sense to me that it would be soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that day, the day after, my husband and I, we went for a walk, and we would usually just, you know, walk a very short part of it and go back home again. But we were walking almost halfway, and I had faith that I could do the whole round already. And we did, and it went well. So I was like, wow, I really need to listen to the Lord when he speaks. You know, I always want to, I think I'm smarter. I think I know better. And I, it's so easy to me to know, yeah, to get up all these reasons why I should do this and this. And he's shown me again and again, like, he knows. And I think also growing up, I've had this very strict view of the Lord. Like, it wasn't until I was grown up that I got this new, deeper, what should I say, intimate relationship with the Lord, where I actually feel his father heart to me, and that he's a good father, you know, because mm-hmm. I grew up so long thinking that he's strict and I have to do this and this. And then he kind of, he loves me if I'm doing this and this and this. But yeah, but he really, the last few years, really showing me that he is a good father, and changing my mindset about, he's not like withholding things from me. He actually just wants to bless me. And if I have to give something up, it's actually because it's for my best, and he wants to bless me through it. So I think that's also really been a journey of all these things, like things that I felt that he asked me to give up. It's always, he always blessed me back for it, if that makes sense.
Totally.
And even the day before I gave birth, I had a longer walk. So he was really faithful again. And pain in my pelvis, then I really had a good pregnancy. And
praise God.
And yeah, and then I also actually felt that he was challenging me to not know the gender of the child. And I never thought about that as an option. Like, I always wanted to know that and always thought that I would know that. So again, I had to wrestle a little bit with it, but I felt like the Lord said, like, you say you love surprises, so this is a big surprise for you. And I was like, yeah, but not that kind of surprise. So I decided not to know. And then early in my pregnancy, I received a Norwegian book from my cousin. It's called Positive Childbirth. And it describes, you know, the natural process of birth. And it has testimonies from very many women. And it's a very encouraging book. Like, it actually talks about just how amazing our body is, and how contractions are your friend. They're helping you. They're a muscle helping you to get the baby down. And it's not like a pain that you should be afraid of. And so this was before I've heard about supernatural childbirth. So at this time, I didn't think about it could be pain-free. But this book was really encouraging to me, because I remember when I read this book, I actually started to, you know, looking forward to giving birth instead of being afraid of it. They do talk about hypnobirthing and stuff like that, and different words to speak of yourself. But I wasn't really doing that. I rather use Bible verses. So I found like biblical truths and Bible verses that I would proclaim over myself. So I would kind of, you know, use them. What should I say? I wouldn't receive everything in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I used it to understand what's going on in the body and speak, you know, life over myself and speak truth. And instead of, I think, like, with the hypnobirthing thing, and if you're doing it outside the Lord, it's like finding the peace in yourself. I don't know. But, you know, no, it has to be in the Lord. Like, I can't find strength and peace in myself. It had to be in the Lord.
Yeah.
That was like the starting for me to start to, you know, think about labor. And I actually waited with reading this book until I was in my third trimester, because I didn't want it to take much of my thought capacity before it was like sooner. And then, as I said, like 1 month exactly, actually, before I gave birth, then I got the book Supernatural Childbirth from my friend. And we started to read it the same night. And even though I, for me, it was really hard to receive in faith that it could be pain-free. but I really, the Lord really put on my, he really gave me faith for that it would be quick and it would be easy, that it would be natural and complicated-free. And I also had really faith that it would not be any tearing. And then I worked on having faith for the pain-free part. But yeah, and then I started to listen to this podcast and it built so much faith and excitement. So I'm so thankful for this podcast. It's really a blessing. And I've shared it with so many of my friends who's pregnant or has given birth now as well. So thank you so much for doing this. And yeah, and I hang up Bible verses all around our apartment. And I would actually also I found on Spotify this list or like I'm not sure. I think it's called Childbirth in the Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. With this woman who's speaking. I guess it's based on the Supernatural Childbirth book that she speaks this declarations over you and praying over you. And yeah, so I would listen to that also occasionally. So all of this was just like the last month before I gave birth. And as I said, I found it hard to believe for a pain-free childbirth. But the Lord, he really confirmed this to me that that I should have faith for it through several occasions. So actually, one of my colleagues, she shared with me that one of her friends recently had a pain-free birth and that she had shared her entire testimony on Instagram. So I read that and it was really powerful. And then on New Year's Eve, so I was my due date was in January 20th. And then on New Year's Eve, another friend of mine, we were right before dinner, she was just out of the blue say to me that she felt that the Lord had been speaking to her the last year about that she didn't believe that Mary had any pain when she gave birth to Jesus. And I was like, what? And then I shared with her like, I feel like the Lord is actually speaking to me about this, but I find it hard to believe, you know. So that was also a real confirmation to me. And then a week or two before I gave birth, we went to church. And then they had this guest speaker there and he had different words of knowledge. One of them was migraine, and I can have it from time to another. So I went up to get prayed for. But when he comes to me to pray for me, he's actually just very quick. He was just like asking me to put my hand on the baby and then raise the other hand up to Jesus. And he said, pain-free childbirth in Jesus' name. And I was, you said what? And he said that this would be a miracle birth. And I was shocked, you know. I was like, what? Like, he had no idea. So the Lord really wanted to confirm to me that, yeah, I should have faith for this. Yeah. And then, yeah, so we're getting close to the birth. So 10 days before my due date, I was home and I was looking at some home births that was posted on the Instagram profile, Pain-Free Childbirth. And I was so touched when I watched them. I remember I saw this woman, she was home with her husband. It was only the two of them. And she was sitting in this nice, it was like dark room and they had candles and they had music on. And she was in this little pool and she actually ended up doing the birth by herself. Like even the husband, he was just watching and recording it. And she gave birth to twins. And it looked so easy and simple. She was in so much peace. And I was like blown away. I'm like, is it even possible, you know? And I cried and I thought it was so beautiful. And I remember I was like thinking, I want to have a home birth. And this was 10 days before my due date. And I had, you know, planned, I've been seeing this midwife, you know, over many months. And the plan was to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But earlier in my pregnancy, a good friend of mine, she actually asked me if I was considering a home birth. She had kind of been a doula for another friend who had given birth when she did home birth. And But I remember when she shared that with me, I was like, I remember when I walked home from her, I was like telling the Lord, no, Lord, no. This is the first child. I want it to be safe. I'm going to the hospital. Like, no. But I think after that, it was in the back of my mind even so. And I remember when people would ask me, yeah, where are you going to, you know, where are you going to go and have your birth? And I would say, like, I felt like a part of me didn't want to say like 100%, you know. I felt like there was something in me knowing that it might not be that way, if that makes sense. So I would just say, yeah, that is the plan, instead of like, yes, I will do this. So I think, like, even though I didn't really think much about it, I think a part of me was gravitating towards home birth. And also reading this Norwegian book, Positive Birth, she was like writing, or she's describing how the more you feel at peace and the more you feel safe, you will produce the hormone oxytocin, and then you will relax more. And then actually the contractions will be way more effective and also less painful. So I think that also really helped me and towards thinking to have a home birth, because obviously you are more relaxed at home. And I know that people share, even in the, you know, the Supernatural Childbirth books, there's so many women who gives birth in a hospital and it doesn't really matter. But it's just, I know for myself that I can be a people pleaser. And then I think I was scared of the few weeks before giving birth was if I go to the hospital and they would, because I didn't want to have a lot of interventions. I didn't want them to do a lot of controls and you know, to interrupt and stuff like that. And then I think I was scared that if I go to the hospital and they would do things that I didn't feel comfortable with, that I wouldn't dare to say no.
So
I had, you know, there were things in the back of my head that were like pointing towards home birth, but it wasn't until 10 days before that I was actually like convinced, no, I want to do a home birth. So I said to the Lord, if we're doing a home birth, then my husband, he has to have peace with it as well. And I talked with my husband that same day and he was really positive. So I was like, wow. And then I knew that there was two midwives in around my area who was actually doing home births. So I called her and I asked her, you know, I have due date in 10 days. Is it too late to plan for home birth? And she said, no, not a problem at all. And we live in a quite simple apartment. And I told her, like, is that a problem? Should we do it somewhere else? And she's like, no, no, no. Like, no problem at all. And so she came home and visited us at the end of that week. And we had so much, she's a super sweet woman. And we had so much peace about doing it. And so we signed a contract with her. And actually 4 days later I was in labor. So the day I gave birth, we woke up quite early in the morning and I was worried because I didn't feel much movement during that night. So I was telling my husband, actually I didn't feel much movement during the night and in the morning. And he said, well, you should go and eat sugar and you should call your midwife. And I tried to eat some sugar and it didn't help. But then I felt like, you know what? The last weeks when I've been home in the mornings, when I sat down and read the word out loud, the baby would always move a lot. So I was thinking, you know what? I'm just going to do that. So he went for work and I sat down in the couch and I just started to read the Bible out loud. And he started to move a lot. Actually for the first time, it felt like he was not just moving. He was actually like moving more downwards. But I didn't think, you know, that I was, this was 3 days before my due date, and I didn't think that I would give birth that day at all. I was just thinking, huh, this is interesting. It's like a little bit different. And I could also feel like a little bit like in my lower back, like just like tiny. So I was like, but then I felt tired. So I just lay down on the couch and I was like in and out of sleep for, I guess, an hour or so. And when I woke up, I heard the sentence, you will give birth and give the name Mika. And then I felt like something clicked below. And I wrote it down on my phone. I was kind of, you know, when you just come out of sleep, you're not really fully awake. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm just going to write this down on my phone. So I just wrote it down. And then I immediately checked the name, the meaning of the name, because we hadn't thought about that name at all. Like, we didn't know, I didn't know the gender. And we had two boys' names ready and one girl's name. But Mika was not it. And we hadn't thought about that at all. And so I just Googled, what does this name mean? And it means, who is like Yahweh? And yeah, so that was kind of like, wow. But I, to be honest, I was kind of I was kind of disappointed, because, or maybe not disappointed is the right word, but I was like, huh, you know, because I didn't think about that name. So it was just weird to me. And I wasn't really sure if I wanted to, you know, use that name. And then also I have, I know about both boys and girls whose name is Mika. So I still didn't know the gender. And yeah, so anyways, then I suddenly felt like eating something sweet. So I went up to eat a snack. And while I was eating, the water broke, or like the water started to flush. And at first I wasn't sure if, you know, if I'm peeing myself or is it actually the water. But then, yeah, it was really clear to me that it was the water. And I realized then that the click that I had felt, you know, while receiving the name right after I woke up, that was actually the water breaking.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. And the Lord is so kind, you know, because the last thing I got to do before giving birth was actually to have a nap. So the time was around 11:30 a.m. and I called my husband and he told me he was in meeting and that he would come home shortly and that I should call my midwife. So I called the midwife and she was very calm, like she expected this to take a long time. So she said that she would come by after work around like 3 p.m. And me, myself, I also thought this would take longer time. Like, I haven't done this before. I had no idea. Like, so I didn't mind that. And then a friend of mine, which is also my neighbor, she texted me that morning and she asked me how I was doing. And yeah, so when I answered her, I told her, yeah, my water just broke. And then she asked me if I would like to go on a walk for her, walk with her to get the contraction started. And I thought, like, yeah, I guess I can do that. So we went for a walk. And while we were walking, we didn't actually talk about labor or anything about the child. We just talked about everything else. And then I started to feel like mild period cramps. And they would come and go quite occasionally. And I didn't tell her anything, but I was just like watching my I was checking the time, you know, whenever it started. And I was like, they were actually 5 minutes apart. But it wasn't painful. It was seriously very mild period cramps. And then when we walked for a little while, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, I said that we should probably head back home. And she asked me, at that point I shared with her, like, every 5 minutes I have this kind of period cramps coming. And she asked me, is it painful? And I was like, no. And she said, well, I think we should walk even further so you can get the contraction started, you know. And then my water was still like coming. So I felt like, no, I think I need to go home and change my diaper. And so we walked back home. And then for a long time, I've been like wanting to have a water birth. So even if I was going to the hospital, I wanted to do it in the water. When we decided to have a home birth, the midwife actually came with a pool the day after, but it was too big. So it actually took almost our whole living room, and it would take, you know, hours to fill it up with hot water. And I had like a real wrestle with it as well, because I really like imagined me doing it in water. So it was something that I really wanted. But at the same time, I felt that it was going against my faith for having a quick birth, because if I would do it in the water, it wouldn't be able, you know, to do it as quick, because it would take many hours to fill it up. So anyway, it was like, it brought a lot of stress. So the weekend before I gave birth, this was really like, I remember we went on Saturday to try to like find a smaller pool and to so many hours, like trying to really get this pool. And then the day before I gave birth, I found this small movable bathtub that I decided that I would go and buy the day after. But then the day after, you know, the labor started. And I remember I was like so disappointed that I didn't have the pool. And I was like, should I still go and buy the pool? Do I have time, you know, to go and buy the pool? But then I felt like I really just had to give it up. And it really stole the joy, you know, with the fact that the water just broke. So I just had to let it go, okay? And I repented to the Lord that I had, because I had put my trust in the tub. I think that I believe that it would be, you know, I believe more in the fact that it could be pain-free and easy with the pool and the hot water than without it. So, and also with like to not tear, I thought that it would be better to be in the pool. So I had kind of put my faith a little bit in that pool. So I had to repent to the Lord and I gave up that pool. But what is so cool with the Lord is that when we walk home with my friend, I share with her that I had planned on doing it in a pool, but that it didn't work out. And she told me that she has a movable pool in her house. And you know what? It was the exactly one that I was supposed to buy that day. The same type. And I was like, what? And she said, I will go straight home. I will wash it and bring it over. So I was like, what? So the Lord is so kind. And then when I came home, my husband, he had cleaned the house and he lighted some candles because he also actually had read the other book with the positive birth, the Norwegian book. So he would like to, you know, help me produce oxytocin. And I remember that I was just so excited that I couldn't sit still. I felt like I would be, you know, in this relaxed state. But I was just like super excited, and I was like, I couldn't sit down. I was just like, rah! So we brought out some of my favorite snacks and we tried to, you know, dance a little. And then I took a shower. And during all this, I still just had very mild period cramps, and I didn't believe that it was contractions. I was not convinced. And my husband, he wanted to time them, and they were 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, and they were everything from 3 to 6 minutes apart. But I didn't think it was contractions because it was seriously like mild period cramps, and I could talk, I could do whatever I want to, you know, it wasn't really like, it wasn't anything. But my husband, he was like, you should call your midwife, you know. And I called her, and the time now is only like around 1 p.m. So 2.5 hours after my water broke. And during the conversation, I think I had 2 contractions, but I didn't tell my midwife because I wasn't convinced. So she said that, yeah, I'll still come, you know, after work. And I said, sure. And then suddenly I was very hungry. So we made some lunch. And while we were eating, things got more intense. So the contractions, they were now I was convinced that there were contractions. And I remember while we were eating, I really had to, you know, stop eating. I had to sit down on the floor and just really concentrate on breathing. Mm-hmm. And I remember I said to my husband, it's not pain-free anymore. But when I look back now, it wasn't really pain. It's just super intense, I think. But it's like, it's kind of what you call different things also, I think, like what kind of words you're using for what you're experiencing. But I remember at least I told him it's not pain-free anymore. And it got like, it really increased, you know, in intensity. So now I was, I remember in the beginning I could, you know, just breathe easily through them. But now I was really had to... to think and breathe. And I think the time now was around 2:30 when it started to get intense. And then the midwife was supposed to come like a little after 3. So I didn't think about calling her. And you kind of like in a bubble when you're in this, because they come so often and you just like, yeah, you take one contraction at a time. And then suddenly the midwife was there. She came around 3:15 p.m. And she was so relaxed and sweet. And we were just small talking. And while we were small talking, the contractions were very intense. And they came with very short intervals. And she didn't pick that up. So I told her. And she's like very relaxed. And she asked, yeah, do you want us to measure? And I said, yeah, let's do that. And then she was very surprised to find out that my cervix had dilated to 7 centimeters. And she was like, oh, you're 7 centimeters. I should call the other midwife because there's supposed to be two there. And she, when she called her, actually I heard that she said, yeah, you probably don't need to bring your knitting. And then not long after that, I felt like I needed to push. And I told her and she said, yeah, you should just follow your body. And my husband, he had made that. I already forgot, you know, about the bathtub. And my husband, he's like, I have the bathtub ready. Do you want to go into it? And I was like, no. I remember I was just like, no, I just need to sit where I am and to just breathe and to not move. And then I've also like visioned that I would like to sit in a squatting position. But I soon found out that like it didn't really work for me. So the midwife, she suggested that I could just sit on my knees and then rest in my husband's lap. So he was just sitting in this chair and I had my knees on the floor and I just had my hands and head in his lap. And and then we had worship music on, which was like really calm worship music. And I actually made that list before he came, so I had listened to it, and the baby also had listened to this music, you know, for some time. And I remember it was really helping me through the contractions, especially in the breaks between, to just listen to the text. And and it's really cool because while I was sitting on my knees and pushing, I have the worship music on. Your love brings me to my knees. So it's like, it's just, you know, the details. And then, anyway, so it felt like I was pushing for a long time. And then the midwife told me that on the next push, the baby will be out. And I was so excited. So when the head was out, I thought that everything was out. So I stopped pushing because it felt like, I'm done. And then, so she asked me like, can you push a little bit more? And then the contraction stopped. So his head was out for a little time. And then since it took so long before the next contraction came, she just said like, you know what? Just try to push and see if it works. And then he came out and immediately she put him, you know, in front of me so that I could take him up. And I immediately saw that he was a boy and he was perfectly healthy. And so she actually said that the active time of my birth was only 2.5 hours. Wow. And then the pushing was 12 and a half minutes. And from the water broke until he was out was just 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
A quick birth.
it was a quick birth and it was an easy birth in that sense. And it was, and I also prayed for, you know, that there would be no tearing, and I had no tearing, no stitches. And even, you know, the placenta, I've heard that it can be painful to get out, and I totally forgot about that, you know, when I was holding him in my arms. And then soon after he was out, the midwife, she just asked me, could you just do a little cough like this? And it wasn't really a real cough, it was seriously like it was like that. And I did, and the placenta was out and I didn't feel anything. It was like crazy. And the midwives, they were stoked, you know, they were like, this is how it's supposed to be. And they were really like surprised about everything. And even like, they were so surprised about the very little amount of blood. So when they left, they only had one plastic bag of trash. And they said like, they haven't experienced this before. So it was like a miraculous birth, I would say. And then Mika and I went into the bedroom and they helped me with nursing. And then my husband, he put on coffee for them and gave them some chocolate, and they were sitting in the living room. And the really cool thing is that, you know, this picture that I got from the Lord, it was hanging on the wall right before I gave birth. And it was pointing towards the two midwives, so they would actually see this picture behind me giving birth. And then while I was in the bedroom nursing Mika, My husband, he was boldly sharing, you know, the testimony of our journey and behind this picture. And yeah, so it was really powerful. And yeah, so I'm just so thankful to the Lord. He gave me everything I asked for. Like, I actually also pray that the water would break first, because in the supernatural childbirth book, that was what the what she did for the first supernatural birth. I think she prayed specifically that the water would break first, because she said, like, how would I know that I'm in birth if it's, mm-hmm. if it's pain-free? And I remember I prayed for that as well. And then I heard later on that if you want the water birth, then if the water breaks first, then you have to, like, the birth has to get started within 24 hours or something, because otherwise you can't be in the water or something like that. So yeah. I remembered, I was like, no, Lord, I regret that prayer. Like, but then, you know, the water broke, it really started with that as well. So I would say you really answered my prayers to the details. And I would like to, like, encourage everyone listening, like, ask for specific things. Like, I think he loves to, you know, to answer us. And it's so much easier for him to show that he is when we have asked specific things and see that he comes through with it. Yeah. And yeah, and another cool thing, I prayed that it would be full term. And you know what? He was born on the day when it was exactly 40 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, in the terms in Norway, at least, I don't know, it's probably the same in the States, but it's like 40 weeks plus 3 days or something that they say.
Yeah.
But I believe it's 40 weeks. So he was born exactly 40 weeks, 3 days before the due date. And yes, I also pray that I wanted him not to come too soon, but I rather wanted him before, you know, instead of after. Because I was scared that if you go over time, then I could start to get stressed if they want to, you know, if it goes too long over, they might start you earlier, and I didn't want that. And yeah, mm-hmm. And then also, actually, he was less than 2.8 kilograms, so they wanted us to spend one night or two at the hospital just to, like, have people around us if we needed it. And at first I was a little disappointed, but then I soon felt peace about it, because, like, I knew the Lord has known this all along, you know, it's not a surprise to him that they want me to do that. And actually, looking back, it was the best scenario, because when I made a list of, like, pros and cons of doing a home birth or going to the hospital, the main thing that I felt like I missed doing it home was, like, the after follow-up that I... Since I never had, like, a child before, I really wanted that follow-up, that it felt safe, you know, to have someone who could be around us if needed. So I kind of got that as well. And yeah. So I just feel so blessed, and I just want to praise the Lord. And that's also why I reached out, because I had a dream many months ago where my son Mika in the dream said, like, Mom, you have to share your testimony. And I was sure that he was pointing to this. And and I remember when you have your podcast, you often have been saying, like, please reach out. And then I felt like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And I know
I was super touched. Like, when you were sharing about the painting and the midwives, and here you're holding Mika, like, it was just like Lord's presence, a good goodness, faithfulness. It just, like, is, I started tearing up. I was like, Lord.
Yeah, he's so good. He's just, oh yeah,
I'm so glad. And it's so encouraging. I love how in your story, like, it's encouraging to hear about peace, you know, like, no matter what situation you're facing or options, like, if you don't have peace about it, a good idea.
Yeah,
but, like, if you have peace about it, proceed forward, you know. Every time you would do that check in your spirit and about what the Lord's plans were, and just because it is always the way done before, or, you know what I mean? Like, just because everyone else does it doesn't mean it's the right choice for your story, you know?
Right. Yeah. And,
so even just going to the hospital after and having that peace, it just does a wonder of difference for sure. So you were in the hospital 2 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
And then So was that hard and rough on you guys? Were you well taken care of there?
Yeah, and we weren't that, like, I think I was afraid that they would, like, check on us all the time and that we wouldn't have, because it was important for me that we would have just, like, the privacy and that we could spend just a lot of time together holding him, and we could that. So it was really a blessing because they even had this little cafeteria in the next room where you could just go and grab whatever food you would like. And it would be prepared meals, it would prepare dinners, and then you would have, I had a little struggle with my breastfeeding, so they would help me with that, and so I would say it was a good experience.
Yeah.
And it was really cold outside at this time. It was almost minus 20 Celsius, which I'm not sure, yeah, it's cold, in Fahrenheit as well, so... It was just nice, you know, they have a really good temperature in there. He could just be in his diaper and we could just snuggle in the bed. And it was just a really good time, actually. Yeah.
That's a good picture.
Like, yeah.
I think so much people will think, you know, of a hospital as sterile and, like, people just want to get out as quickly as possible. But to that picture of the three of you and, like, and it's like a cocoon, you know, or a
womb. Yeah. Yeah, because we got our own room, which was really nice. And then... He could, my husband could be there, you know, and sleep there. And yes, that was really nice. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to add to the, your story?
I'm not sure. Just that he is faithful. He's really faithful. And, he sees us like he's El Rui, the God who sees, like he sees the details in our lives, and like he's as you said, like, you have to follow what you feel like he's leading you to and not listen to or think about what he's leading other people to, which is really hard, and it's hard for me still. but to try to trust that he wants the best for us and he knows. And
amen.
I
have to ask this because, like, looking over your whole story, has any revival come to Norway since Mika's been born, or around the time Mika's been born?
Well, there are, people would say it's already here, you know, and it's hard to say, you know, it's like, when is it here? Because it can look different every time there's, we see a lot of growth in, like, we work in a Christian organization with youths, and we see a lot of growth where we are. We're growing so much, so it's like not room anymore at our YWAM base. We need to build more buildings so people could, we have place for more people. So we really see and hear a lot of testimonies. And while I was pregnant with Mika, we actually had an event called The Send. I'm not sure if you heard about it.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we were actually involved in that, my husband and I, to plan that. And so I would really say it's things are happening in this nation for sure. And there's been so much fruit out of that event and meetings we'd have after. I would say the Lord is doing new things in this country.
Amen.
Yeah.
Almost too. Do you besides the positive birth book you mentioned and Childbirth in the Glory and Pain-Free Childbirth, is there any other resources that you would recommend to listeners?
I think those were the ones that I was reading. And make a list of, if you like worship and worship music, like, make the list that you can listen to, and and Bible verses for sure, like, find those Bible verses that you feel are for you.
What was, like, one of the key verses that you clung on to?
One of the key verses was you shall be led forth you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, which is Isaiah 55:12, I believe. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And did you follow up with the midwives after? Did they like comment about your birth and like, were they Christians before?
So I'm not sure actually if she is a Christian, the midwife that I had, but I saw that she had a cross around her neck. So she might be. But she was so stoked after she came. When we came home from the hospital, so 3 days after my birth, she came on a home visit, and she was just so stoked about the birth. And she was also like, she said like, very few women are sitting like you're sitting right now, right after they gave birth, you know. And
wow,
she was yeah. And I'm actually I actually texted with her the other day, and she said like, oh, it was such a, her word was magic experience last year.
That's so good. So before we close for today, do you have any final thoughts or words of encouragement for our listeners?
Well, believe in his faithfulness, I would say. I think the one word that I was really like, after this whole journey and becoming pregnant, is the Lord is faithful. Mm. He is faithful.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. Well, as the Lord is faithful, would you like to pray over our listeners that word?
Yes, I'd love to. Yes, Lord. So I just want to praise you. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you for your goodness and, Father, for your loving kindness towards us. I thank you that we are your children and that you care about us in such a deep and special way, and that you you created us to be different, and you have different journeys for each one of us. And I thank you that you have planned everything for us from beginning till end, and that you more than we would ever imagine, you would like to us to walk on that journey and to get to know your will for our lives and to follow in your footsteps. So I just want to bless my sisters listening to these podcasts. I want to bless them with your peace and that they would also get that deep revelation and knowing in their heart that you are faithful, and that your word comes through every time. I pray that you would speak specifically to the different women listening, Lord, that you would give them your promises, yeah, that you would give them personal promises, Lord, that they can hold onto, and that they can hold onto in the good days and in the hard days, and that they will experience that your word is true and that your word comes true. And that I thank you that you want to bless these women with miraculous conceptions, miraculous pregnancy, miraculous births. I thank you that they will be living examples and testimonies of how you are such a good father, and how you are alive, and how you do miracles every day. I pray that you bless them with good health, that you bless them with fruitfulness, with joy, with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for praying over all of us. If there's someone that's really resonated with and would like to contact you, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
So the easiest would probably be on Facebook. So I'm not sure, you probably will attach my name or something to this podcast, or what is the easiest way?
Yeah, we can put that in the show notes, and you can give me that contact, and we'll put it in the show for all our listeners. You'll find it there, and all the other resources Martina has listed today, we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You were such a blessing, and I'm so glad you followed what the Lord told you in your dream and were faithful.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.